Hello and welcome to episode 315 of the Daily Brainwave. My name is Sean and I will be your host as we try and discover the most useful and interesting fact known to mankind. Find me online on the new Daily Brainwave Facebook page. Email the show at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com, and please rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or however it is you find us. Today we wrap up calendar week by looking at the time zone. I don't know why people say time travel is impossible, to be honest. I figured out the secret a long time ago. So you know when you're driving through Indiana towards Ohio, and you just pass by that RV Hall of Fame that's just randomly in the middle of nowhere, and that's your landmark to know you just crossed from Central Time to Eastern Time, and you get an hour, you flop your clock back from 5 p.m. to 4 p.m., right? So all you gotta do is go fast enough that you cross a time zone in less than an hour, and keep doing that, keep crossing time zones in less than an hour, and you have to go back in time. It's so simple, I don't know why the MacArthur Genius Grant people haven't returned my calls. This is the beauty of the time zone. But how did we get these things? Who thought them up? Who drew the lines? And why won't the MacArthur Genius Grant people return my calls? As humans began to travel long distances, it became obvious that time was not universal. High noon in Venice was dawn in India. Satellites and other technologies that tell us today whatever specific time it is, wherever in the world we are, automatically, are a very, very recent invention. For centuries, people tried to develop accurate ways of knowing what time it was, because this was the key in determining where you were. So, for example, if you know that it is 3 o'clock p.m. in Washington, D.C., 3 o'clock p.m. on the dot, and you also know that you are some point west of D.C., could be hours, could be days of walking or horse-drawn carriaging. If you know the local time where it is you're standing, and you also know that 3 o'clock time in Washington, D.C., you can figure out using some math how far you have moved latitudinally, so how far west you've gone from Washington, D.C. Now, this is really handy for sailors, because when you're out at sea and you don't have any landmarks to reference, you can use this technique to locate yourself on a map. Many tinkerers search for an easy solution. In Greenwich, meantime, scientists installed a super accurate clock that they proclaim to be the standard. Ships of Her Majesty's Navy, and soon merchant ships based out of England, set their clocks to this standard Greenwich time and used it as their reference point as they traveled east and west to the various territories and colonies and trade lands under the control of England. This Greenwich Mean Time became standard use across the world as more and more nations took to exploration and exploitation, and today it is known as the Prime Meridian. Now, if you look at a map of time zones of the world, you'll notice that time zones are super jagged. That's because there's actually no international standard for time zones, no big group of people that got together and carved up the world into 24 equal zones. Rather, each nation has set its own time zones independently, based on factors like population, geographic grouping, political or cultural reasons, whatever. That's why it will be 5 o'clock in St. Petersburg, Russia, when it's only 4 o'clock in Cairo, Egypt, even though the two are lying on pretty much the same latitude geographically. They're a whole hour apart. In 1884, the president of the United States at the time, Chester A. Arthur, one of those who presidents, called for the U.S. to standardize its own time zones. Until then, people had set their clocks to pretty much whatever the heck hour they wanted, making it tough to do business or do simple things like catch a train. As a result of his conference, hours were unified in our nation, and our standard U.S. time zone started to take shape. So next time you're talking about important presidents, be the guy, be the one who stands up for Chester A. Arthur. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in to episode 315 of the Daily Brainwave. Check us out on Facebook. Contact the show via email at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. And review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or however it is you find us. And make sure you tune in on Monday as we start our spicy month. A 4-week look at the history of flavors. Next week, we'll start by doing Sugar Week. And we start that off by figuring out why people like the sweet stuff in the first place.